Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. Today, we are talking about Season 5, Episode 3, The Plant. I'm Jess Sterling, and of course, as always, I am joined by someone who can't wait to perform his Nine Inch Nails medley, Stuart!
I'm just imagining, like, Nine Inch Nails back in the day, how wild their shows were, and I'm just like, how can I kind of like blend that with like Talking Shit and the Schitt's Creek universe that we kind of know here? These are two worlds that should not be combined. Like, what the heck? What unhinged part of Dan Levy's brain did this come from?
I feel like the person who would actually be the best at it somehow is Twyla. Like, she just must have so much rage somewhere deep down inside of her from all the traumatic things that have happened in her life.
Perhaps. I also think that there's an element of like really sweet people that you don't expect being metalheads being metalheads. Like, is it Topanga that's like into her heavy metal as well? Like that kind of vibe of like person. I'm just like, I didn't initially expect it, but now everything makes total sense. Mm-hmm. And Twyla is absolutely that person as well. Yeah.
Now this makes me wonder if the music that I listened to is what it would look like I would listen to. Does that make sense? If you didn't know me and you just saw me walking down the street, what would you be like? And I had headphones on. What do you assume I would be listening to?
Oh gosh, this is such a loaded question. Like, how can I answer this correctly?
Yeah, it is. Insult me, I dare you.
I mean,
there's only one thing you could say that would be insulting, to be fair.
Barry Manilow? Like, I'm trying to think something really embarrassingly cheesy. Like, what would be the worst for you?
No, I'm about to offend even more people on this podcast, but that's my thing lately. I guess it's trendy. Country music. If you said I listened to country music, I'd be slightly offended.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing camo or like neon orange, so I don't think that fits.
Neon, of all things country listeners, you focusing on camo and neon.
Yeah, because they wear like
cowboy hats and boots and denim jeans.
But like those neon things that they wear when they're like hunting, so you don't actually like shoot them. Like there's neon orange is like very country.
You mean like the color that Dick Cheney like focuses in on when he's out hunting?
Dick Cheney joke in 2025.
I'm so aging myself.
But you didn't answer the question. Barry Manilow was not a real answer. I'm not accepting that at all.
I don't know. You seem like a pop girly. Like, you'd be like into, like, I think the mainstream. I don't think you, like,
Fair.
Definitely, I want to say back in the day, like, we've made like Blink-182 jokes and stuff like that. Maybe a bit of a kind of like a skatery.
Yeah, tonight emo, will kind be of
like
the night.
Like that kind of vibe, maybe, yeah.
Did I literally tell my car to play pop punk music yesterday? Yes, I did. And Blink-182 was on that list. Yeah, I do like, if I'm in the car, I do like a pop punk moment. I've also been really into like Sabrina Carpenter radio, so you are correct on both spots in terms of, you know, modern pop kind of whatever's on the lists. I'm not savvy enough. I don't listen to music that isn't like on charts. You know what I mean? I just don't. I'm not someone who's going to go dig to find it. I'm going to listen to whatever's at the top, whatever's playing. That's what I'll put on. And classic rock, obviously, because that's an oldie but a goodie. Anyway, we are so far off topic already, and we haven't even started talking about the episode.
So far off topic.
But we're talking about Schitt's Creek today. Before we even do our recap, Stuart, I have to read out a 5-star review because we did get one. And don't forget, if you want your 5-star review read on the podcast, send one in. Write whatever the heck you want and I will read it. This person was super, super kind. You don't have to be. You could be really mean. Not that mean. Don't hurt my feelings. But like a little bit mean, you know?
I'm not inviting you to be mean, but if you're predisposed to it, I mean, go nuts. Like,
five stars or I won't read it. But New York City Dog Mom says, my newest binge. I know. I love their name. It's my favorite. My newest binge came over from We Know Yellow Jackets. Your podcast is the perfect excuse to rewatch this brilliant show. Great format and consistency with funny banter and strong opinions on wildly specific topics. Listening feels like chatting with friends about our favorite show and not wanting to hold babies. Stuart, I also haven't watched Parks and Rec, so you're not alone. I love this person. That's this person is the best. Review. We have strong opinions on wildly specific topics.
Yeah, we do. And I feel strongly about that.
Yeah, and you know what? It's better than being apathetic. So
yeah, a win's exactly. Yeah. No fence sitting here. We're going to make a decision.
Thank you so much, New York City Dog Mom. I hope your dogs are doing well, and I'm sure they're adorable. And if you do want to send in photos, email us, podcast@talkingshit.com. I want to see photos of your dogs. Just take that as an open invitation to anyone who wants to send cute photos of their dogs.
Yeah. Any listener right now, dog tax is in effect. podcast@talkingshit.com. Send them
in. You can't pay us money, but you can send us dog photos, which we will appreciate. Okay. Shall we get into our episode recap for the plant?
Yes, let's.
Okay. Alexis is able to secure a reservation at the motel for Amir Kaplan, an influential travel blogger specialized in writing about places and things off the beaten path. Beyond giving him extra special treatment, Alexis, Johnny, Stevie, and Roland decide as a team to hire a plant to act as a fellow motel guest to talk up the greatness of the place to Kaplan. Given they don't have the budget for this, they pick Stevie to play the part of the plant, but she caves pretty much instantly when Amir invites her to lunch. Luckily, her and Amir hit it off, and the motel gets a fantastic review. Meanwhile, David and Patrick are apartment hunting because Ray's open door policy is driving them nuts. Patrick finds a studio apartment he loves, but David hates it. And as it turns out, Patrick was looking for an apartment for himself, not for the both of them. And also, Jocelyn has been struggling to find time for the Jazza Gals due to the new baby. And in her sleep-deprived state, she pops off on the Jazza Gals, saying Ronnie sings too softly, Twyla sings too loudly, and Moira will not stop talking about Bosnia. But we're all left wondering, what about the Nine Inch Nails medley at the Yarn for Cheap? And that's our episode, Stuart.
I want to go to that gig. Like, it sounds like it'd be a riot, right?
Yeah, truly, yes, yeah. Also, petition to have Jocelyn only appear in her sleep-deprived state from now on, because I need her spilling the tea and telling truths. Like, we didn't get a Gwen factoid, but I would have loved one, as always. Justice for Gwen. I want to see more of her on my screen. But she was really on one today.
I felt like she could have gone a bit harder, like, on everyone. I felt like she was still holding back a little bit.
She already made Twyla cry. How much harder do you want her to go?
Yeah, but she didn't say it. She just said B words, like, self-censoring, because she can't commit to that. And it would have been like quite interesting to see, like, maybe if she went fully in on Moira, like, what she would have said. Because Bosnia, of course, is like, it's very present, it's recent, and so she's gonna kind of gravitate towards that. But like, really, what does she think about Moira? Like, I wonder if maybe there is still some like niggle in the back of her mind of just what if she did sleep with Roland? Like, maybe that is still there.
Yeah, she definitely, maybe it's more, this is as rebellious and truth-telling that sleep-deprived Jocelyn can get. Maybe we need to get her drunk.
Oh, yes. Drunk, right? Jocelyn would be a vibe, I reckon.
That's what I'm saying.
I think she'd be the friendliest. You'd get all of the gossip, I think, that she, like, holds back. Yeah, Justin would be a great person to go drinking with.
Off with the kitten sweatshirts, down the truth hole.
Down the truth hole?
I don't know why I said that. Anyway, It was kind of rude of the Jazzagals, though, to like be moving things around for like Ronnie's massage and like these other things, but they will not move it for Jocelyn's schedule with her baby. Like, the fact that Jocelyn got a babysitter whose name like she didn't even know is so concerning, and I think we have more answers to what happened to Mutt.
Yeah, I think we do. But here's the thing. So before we started recording this, we talked and we were like, yeah, let's record another one where we just wildly offend our listeners. As we have to do it
recently. Yes.
I feel like I might do a bit of that today.
Oh, incredible. Because
Jocelyn is totally in the wrong here. Like, I'm sorry. It's your baby. It's your baby. Like, Ronnie didn't sign up for this. And like, yeah, okay, maybe they could have moved it. But as Moira said, you were tied up with the bebé. And it's not as if, like, Jocelyn had an hour's window before the Jazzagals thing. So even if they did keep it to the same time or move it to accommodate, like, it's just, no, that wasn't on the cards. And it's only because Jocelyn, in her, like, sleep-deprived adult mind, has gone out, got a babysitter whose name she doesn't even fully know because she's like, no, I need something for myself. Like, I'm sorry, Jocelyn. I'm sorry. I love
you. And you shouldn't have had a baby, Jocelyn. Like, listen, I neither of us are parents. So, like, obviously, take anything we say. We don't know. We truly don't understand what it's like to be parents.
No. However, no, I'm not having this. No, I'm going to offend them. No, you're all wrong.
Offend them. But the thing is, this was Jocelyn and Roland's choice to have another baby. And so you're going to miss things and you can't expect the Jazzagals to move based on your schedule, which doesn't see like, it seems like this was a Roland and Jocelyn problem where like Roland decided he was going to like work late or had something else going on. And then they didn't have anyone to watch the baby. It's like, okay, so either the baby comes to Jazzagal rehearsal, which is it the worst thing in the world? Like, no. I mean, I guess if the baby's sleeping, it's the worst thing in the world. But if the baby's just hanging out, I mean, this is a small baby. Like, this baby can't move yet, you know? Like, not move, but, like, it can't get up and, like, crawl off. Like, it's going to stay where you put it.
It's going to cry, I guess, during the number and maybe throw people off. Okay.
And on that note, I would be like, Jocelyn, take your baby away.
Yeah. But, like, at least she gave it a good try. Like,
we're going to offend everyone with kids. Listen, the thing is this isn't,
isn't
a Jazzagals problem. This is a Jocelyn problem. And maybe what she really does need is like help at home, you know, taking care of the baby. So maybe she can get some more sleep and not lose her mind every 5 seconds. But I think this is
where Jocelyn is like, is correct, is that they haven't been the best friends. Like, I don't think that they should be, like, taking the responsibilities of, or, like, maybe, like, a friend would offer to do that, but it shouldn't be expected. But what they should be doing is maybe just being, like, checking in with Jocelyn a bit more. Because by the sounds of it is that they haven't been doing that. Like, they've all been consumed in their own stuff. Like, Ronnie's been getting the massages. Moira's been in Bosnia. Twyla's being Twyla, I guess. Like,
she's working. She's just working.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, they haven't done the whole checking in thing, which is why she's probably losing
her. Well, that's the thing. Literally, send Jocelyn a casserole, you know? Send her a dinner so that she doesn't have to cook. Send her a Grubhub gift card if they have that in Schitt's Creek. You know? Like, get this woman some help. It takes a village, as they say. This is a very tight-knit small community. So it surprised me to find out that, like, none of them have offered her any sort of, like, here, just in case. You know, you hear all the time that, like, new parents are just, like, so inundated with stuff to do that they, like, forget to eat. Like, literally just do anything to help out this poor woman who has freaking Roland for a husband who, like, he can't be very helpful. I'm sorry. Like, he just can't be.
Like, even in, like, the hotel, the motel stuff, like, they talk about, like, he goes, oh, yeah, if you want, like, a homely five, I should invite over because Jocelyn's making pot roast. Like,
yeah.
Why? Like, she's
why is she making a pot roast? Deprived.
He doesn't seem to be particularly tired and, like, doesn't seem to be particularly busy with the motel. So, like, why are you not cooking, Roland? Like, why are you not picking up some things?
Yeah, exactly. Can a pot roast be made in a crock pot? Because that's the only excuse if, like, you know. Like if it's a set it and forget it sort of thing, then it's not so bad. Yeah. But still. Jocelyn is really, really losing it. But I want to talk next about David and Patrick because I'm really upset, Stuart. And I know you know why. Because I could tell by your stupid face, you know why.
Are you about to say that Patrick did a boo-boo?
Yes. Because
he did a wrong thing.
He did a wrong thing. He used we. He said mm-hmm. we. He weed them, okay? And if you weed
don't
somebody.
Don't say that.
Will, my husband, heard me say that and immediately made a face. If so you're going to use the word we, people are going to assume you mean you two together.
We should look for an apartment.
Yes,
we
that means
we should move into an apartment.
We yeah. are moving in together. Like, of course that's what David is going to assume. And personally, if that's what he assumed, if I'm Patrick, I'm not correcting him because you know how hard it was for David to even get to the point of like saying, I love you and like hitting these milestones in a relationship. I feel like even if that's not what you intended, if he's ready to move in together, I don't understand why they wouldn't, right? Like, am I silly, Stuart? We've talked about this in the past, like in terms of our own perspectives on relationships. I would say, and I think you would agree, I move faster than you do, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. I would be quicker to move in with someone. I feel like I don't understand why Patrick and David don't already live together. Like, let's talk about their housing situations, right? Like, David is living in a motel in the same literal room with his sister as a 30-something-year-old. Patrick rents a room from fucking Ray, okay? Like, why are they not already living together, Stuart?
From a practicality perspective, when you, like, word it like that, yeah, sharing a room with your sister, being in your 30s, and then, like, obviously renting a room from Ray of all people, although Ray does seem, apart from the door thing, seems actually like quite a lovely housemate in terms of like making
this is how he gets you
things like that. If he were to cut the door thing out, I'm sure he would be okay otherwise.
I totally disagree. I 1000% disagree.
What evidence is there to show that he's not like dude?
Because of his who he is. No, because who he is. I've never had a roommate in my life that wasn't like a romantic partner. So I don't have any sort of experience with this. If I did ever have a roommate, I would want them to be one of those, like, I never see them. I don't even ever know if they're home. We never speak to each other sort of arrangements. Like, I just want to live my life and not have to like be forced to socialize with another person that is living in the same house as me. Ray is my fucking nightmare because he just constantly, do you want pancakes? Oh, no. Do you want eggs? Like, no, I don't want anything. Ray, leave me alone. I'll eat a Nutri-Grain bar if I'm hungry. Like, truly, he's so annoying. He would annoy me to no end. I know he's like that nice guy who's not actually nice. He's just really irritating.
I mean, yeah, you make a point. And if I were to live with Ray, I'd probably want to kill him.
Exactly.
But like, as a third party observer, I have to observe that ordinarily people like nice gestures like this. And they're not as antisocial as I would be in this situation. Where I would be like, are they at the kitchen yet? Yeah, I can go to the kitchen now.
That's me. Literally yesterday.
We're too similar, Jess. This is really
Stuart,
scary.
You need to tell me, like, you're going to agree with me, but most people that listen to this are probably going to be like, wow, you have
psychos.
Problems. Yeah, I really am. Yesterday, I was going into a library and I was like about to get out of my car and I noticed someone else like walking past my car to like obviously go in the same direction to go in the library. And I was so nervous that I would either have to A, interact with that person, or B, have to do that thing where you like run to catch up because they're holding the door open for you, that I just waited in my car for an extra like minute or two to avoid it all.
That's really bad, Jess.
I know.
But I've done something similar recently. Because where I live, like, we've got parking and then my, like, neighbor was there and we have, like, a shared door before we get into our flats. And, same thing.
Where you're I just can't. Oh. I don't have the energy.
I'll fumble around on my phone. Yeah, I just can't be doing
that. Yeah, or Literally,
I don't care how you or your kids are doing. So stop talking to me.
Exactly. And I feel like I'm obligated to ask and do the whole, like, no one would know how I'm feeling on the inside because I'm able to mask it and do the whole, like, oh, nice weather we're having, you know, that whole thing, like, just fine. Like, I am actually a normal human being, but just trust and know that I am not. And if we're having small talk, there's a 100% chance I don't want to be doing it.
Quite a while ago, I said that this podcast wasn't therapy for you. I think it might have just become therapy for the pair of us. And I don't think that's necessarily
we're helping
healthy.
Each other is the problem. It's not good
I don't
therapy.
Think we are. We have the same problems. We're reinforcing each other's problem. We're like, yeah, it's fine to do that. Yeah.
It feels fine to me to do it. I, you know. But no, Ray seems like a terrible roommate. They do need to find a place. And I can agree with David about some things. Like, if Ray told me we were going to a penthouse one-bedroom apartment and I walked in and it was a studio apartment, I wouldn't be happy. But also, like, David, did you really think there was a penthouse apartment in Schitt's Creek?
Well, this is the thing. I think you have to take that as, like, what it is, which is top floor. Like, it's penthouse. Is just, you know how, like, all... anyone that deals in anything housing, they kind of, like, big it up and they oversell it. And it's always a letdown. And stuff like that. The worst thing about this is, though, I was watching it and just going, it's probably a more spacious living area than what I actually have right now, which is
it's not awful. A bad apartment.
It's a big size.
It's my biggest gripe. Yeah. Like, the biggest gripes are the one tiny, tiny closet and who the hell was like, yeah, a curtain will suffice for the bathroom. No.
Yeah.
No, we need a solid surface between you and someone who's doing their business.
I don't know why, but it feels unclean. Like, I want a more solid barrier between that
the curtain.
And where I sleep and also where my kitchen is.
And where I eat, like, yeah. That is a big no-no. Like, you could hang a door or get the landlord to hang a door or whatever. It's not that bad. It has a fireplace. Like, it was a nice starter apartment. I don't understand why Patrick wasn't just like, oh, like we should live together. Like, why not? I guess is my question. You've told each other you love each other. You seem pretty like monogamous and you know, settled together. Why not move in together? Maybe I'm crazy. Will and I moved in after like a few months. Like, it wasn't that long of a wait. And these two have been dating far longer than that. I know.
Wow.
To be fair, he moved in with me, so I didn't have to like actually like move anywhere. It probably helped.
You say it will freeloaded. He's like, just reloaded. You're like, yeah. Come on, share the rent. Yeah.
It was things where like, yeah, it was like, well, you might as well move in because I have the dog and I have the house. And so it makes more sense for you to just move in here because I'm never going to stay at your place. I have a dog. Like, I can't just, you know.
It's so funny.
I never stayed over his place not once.
I guess so. Like, with Patrick's situation, it's like, well, he's live with people, maybe it's a good thing for him to live on his own for just a smidge, just to kind of like acclimatize, to see whether or not perhaps living on his own is going to work. And then when David comes in, so there's like almost like a constant to compare it to of like that. Also, perhaps maybe like David's saving money. Like, I imagine that David is being a bit more practical with his money these days.
Yeah.
And like, a lot of money went into the apothecary. Hopefully, though, David is like, well, like, I could move in, but maybe this is like a sign that David is being more like financially kind of savvy and is learning from his dad's mistakes of like trusting people with money. He's like, no, I'm going to like think about it. I'm going to save it. Much like you've seen with Alexis with saving the money for like her education. Maybe that's just been instilled in them now, which is, I think, a really good thing.
That's true. I guess I should be looking at it that way. I more so look at it as like, are you really like splitting your nights between a crappy motel and like your boyfriend's place? Like, that's kind of just stay at your boyfriend's place. But what do I know? You know, I don't know.
No, I mean, like, that makes sense. And it's going to be such a short term thing, right? Because the moment they get a space that is theirs, or at least like Patrick's, that is away from Alexis and away from Ray, immediately it's the best option, and they're going to be there all the time. So I think this will be like, I don't know, maybe it's just a thing for like Patrick to say, this is mine for a bit before it becomes theirs. But it's going to be, they're going to move in together soon enough. Like, officially or unofficially, it's happening.
I do wish we got to see a little bit more of Patrick living with Ray first.
Oh, yeah.
I do think it would have been funny. I just love the, like, do we want to risk it with the eggs that have been out on the counter for a few days? Like, no. No, we don't. I love him complimenting David and being like, David, I know you're, like, insecure about your body, but you look great.
David was like, I'm not offended by that, I don't think, which was what I was expecting from it. As well, like, I love the fact that Ray is, like, living dangerously with, like, the eggs that have been left out. So I had to remind myself that American eggs have to be kept in the fridge. And so I was like, what's the issue? Oh, no, yeah, we have different eggs.
Do you leave them on the counter? Like, where do you store your eggs?
I put them in the fridge because they tend to last longer, but we can leave them out. Like, they're not refrigerated in the store.
Right. I'm just thinking of, like, where you would put them, though. Like, do people just put eggs in a cabinet? That's so strange to me.
Sometimes people have, like, special egg holders that are, like, wire frames of ordinarily, like, they're quite chicken-shaped, and then they put them in them, and it's on the side.
I don't care if I'm offending people at this point. That's stupid.
Wow. I was all on board for offending our listeners, but that's offended me. How dare you? How dare you?
I just don't understand that. Like, I will never understand. I don't even think this is a hot take. I don't understand taking something that comes in, like, a carton that is shaped for that purpose and taking the things out of that just to put them in something else.
Oh, I think you can go off the deep end with that stuff. You know, like those TikTokers that, like, decant everything into these, like, special plastic containers.
For like the ASMR people. Let me take this cereal and take it out of the cereal box and put it in this other box. Why are we doing that? They're in a container.
No, not on board with that. But I am for, like, certain things, because it's like eggs. No, because the eggs do just stay in the carton. They just go in the fridge. They get hidden away. But things like, I don't know, like fruits and stuff like that, like, you don't want to just have it in, like, the bag it comes in. You want to, like, put it in the fruit bowl.
Sure, like a fruit bowl makes sense. A fruit bowl makes sense because you're putting them all in, like, the same place. You're not like, it's not like, oh, my fruit comes in individually packaged things and then I'm going to, you know, like, come on now. No. Plus, I don't use those plastic bags.
That's a perfectly sane and rational line there. But when you get into the business of decanting everything into those little plastic buckets, no, get out of
there. Who's time for that?
People with, like, flower drawers as well. Like, who are you?
Flower drawers? What's a flower drawer?
Like, they open their, like, drawer and they've got, like, a scoop and, like, the flower is, like, just loose in a big drawer. Yeah.
What?
I've seen it for like these, like, big baking TikTokers and stuff like that, and, like, YouTubers that, like, recipes and stuff. Yeah. I'm not here for that.
That's so dumb. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I hope no one was offended by that. But if you were, then, like, I don't know.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
Let's talk about the plan. Let's talk about Alexis's plan here with Stevie. Do we think Stevie was the right choice for the job?
Absolutely not. Like, from everything we know about Stevie, Stevie has the lowest. Okay, how do I word this right? Stevie has the lowest, outward charisma. Like, Stevie is a very like highly charismatic when it comes to, like, interactions with people she knows and, like, gets on with. Like, that's where Stevie's charisma manifests. With strangers, very rare. I think. Like, Stevie is very much like, walls are up, and I like, I, and if, especially if she has to perform, like, we've seen her in performance mode before when they went to like the golfing place and like all of the situations like that. It doesn't tend to work out well. So I think this was like a wild choice.
So who else in would you pick then, though, of the four?
This is the thing. I think beforehand I would have said maybe Alexis, because she like knows what she wants to push. Like, it kind of makes sense. It doesn't really make sense if they've spoken beforehand, maybe. So maybe, I don't know, like, I don't know, maybe... There is really no choice, because instinctually I was like, well, maybe you want an actual actor. Maybe you want Moira. And I was like, no, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah. The problem is Alexis is never going to look like someone who would stay at this motel. It doesn't matter what she does with her hair and makeup. I just don't think it would work. I think Johnny, you kind of want to retain him as the manager. So I don't necessarily, right? I think he's going to go above and beyond in a way that works. Roland, absolutely not. Like, no. I'm not putting any of this on him.
Ted would be the choice.
You are so spot on with that. Ted is the choice. Ted is a perfect option, because he looks, he could downplay how like preppy he is, I think, to make him look maybe a little bit, not to say like people that stay at motels are like, you know, any sort of people, but like, you know, you don't want to look rich.
Ted doesn't wear denim and flannel like together. Like, that's a Stevie look. Like, and Ted has got his like kind of sports casual kind of like look.
Yeah.
Preppy kind of look. I think that like, that would be hilarious trying to like give Ted more of a slight edge to him in terms of like his attire and stuff. That would be actually hilarious. Yeah. But like, he's fully compliant. He'll take direction from Alexis. Like, this, like, he's probably the best choice for it. But I guess working, and obviously not in this episode.
Yeah. So really, at first, Stevie was pretty good. Like, I think like she did a decent job, right? Amir seems to like her. And they go out to lunch, and she immediately is like, I can't do this for all of lunch. Like, I can't do this for another 30 minutes. Like, I gotta come clean. What did you think of Amir and Stevie's, I don't know, friendship, whatever, blossoming, whatever the heck?
I was like, immediate chemistry. Like, there was something, there was a vibe there almost straight away. I don't know what it was. I didn't expect it at all. And I was coming to think about it. I was like, on the second watch, I was there like when they first started chatting. I was like, well, there's not really much of like fireworks or anything, but there is like this slight chemistry between them. But certainly what does it is the fact that Stevie is forcing herself to talk to him, and it does come across as if she's kind of like into him and nervously trying to like extend the conversation, which probably sets up that vibe from him of like something in return. So I was like, it was really funny like watching it for the second time because of that, because I didn't catch it on the first. Yeah, curious though, because the pair of them, I don't know, like, I was not expecting another Stevie angle for like a relationship kind of thing to come about. I don't know if this will turn up as one.
They definitely have a similar sense of humor, right? Like that very like dry wit, like them joking about, oh, Stevie going to prison, and oh, my wife went there, like sort of a thing. And I like it. This makes sense to me that he blogs about like off the beaten path sorts of motels. That probably would make dating pretty difficult, and it probably would get kind of lonely. So it tracked to me that he'd be like, I don't really care that you were a plant. Like, let's still just have lunch. And also we could take advantage of this. Like, you can come to dinner. I thought that was really fun. I like this storyline. One, because it gives Stevie something else to do, which I always really enjoy. And two, because I think they play off of each other really well. Now, like, the tricky thing, Stuart, obviously, is that he seems to travel a lot. Like, he's not a local. So who knows what'll happen there.
I wonder if it could be, like, a good thing, like, out of town, like, kind of give Stevie a bit of independence and, like, kind of a bit of freedom. Does make me wonder what happened with Jake. I don't think we got any confirmation of that ending.
Yeah, Pony. Like, no, we didn't.
So, like, I don't know, maybe Pony's saddling up a second time. Like,
oh, you know? No. As you were saying it, I could tell you were like, I can't believe I'm saying
that. I can't believe I'm saying that. Yeah.
Outrageous. Yeah, but it's a fun storyline. I like to see Alexis kind of like working, right? Like she's like, I have an idea for the motel. It seems like a successful idea because they did get a really great review.
Yeah, this seems like it's going to be probably like a turning point for them, because it's like, it's one thing to like spruce everything up and to have a big event that kind of lures people in, but people aren't brought back by a motel. But like this certainly is going to be a kind of thing that people, when they kind of like are searching up and stuff, this is going to like, hopefully, if they like get it, I don't know, reposted on tweeters and stuff, then maybe they can
tweeters.
Like it will appear, and it means that like when people are traveling through the area and need someone to stay, they'll look it up and they'll see a glowing review of it, and so certainly it's going to help business. This could really, really help them out. And it goes to show that, like, Alexis is, like, super necessary to this whole scheme, because this is something that, like, Johnny didn't think of, that Stevie didn't think of. And it's why I kind of like that the Johnny and Stevie duo kind of has this other branch with Alexis, like, helping out occasionally. It's a really good way to complement it, which I love
to see. Well, especially because, like, this is an achievable, doable thing for the motel. Alexis isn't shooting for the moon, you know? Like, this is something that realistically could help the motel, and it's something that is well within their means to do it. It doesn't cost any additional money, really. Like, maybe you're pulling out all the stops for this guy, but, like, they're not going above and beyond in any way that's going to cost them monetarily. So I love that, like, that, you know, this is something Alexis came up with that could help the motel, and who knows? Who knows who reads this guy's blog, right? Like, at the very least, it's a 5-star review, and that's not a bad thing to have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought this was great. I love getting to see Alexis working and being really smart about things. Like, because she's not always. This sort of a thing she does know, and she knows it well, and she's able to kind of help out in that way, even if she does it while, like, insulting them, being like, I'd never stay here. But you know, this is what we can do.
It's being honest, though, which is like super necessary. Like, I think they've got to know their target market. Like, it's not the Alexis of the world. It's like the travelers. It's the people that are going to actually, you know, need to stay here. And it's like, it's not a bad thing in the slightest. I love the fact that like Alexis has been a bit of a supporting character this entire episode, like with this scene. And also with David, like, Alexis had a really great, like, scene where she's like, if your boyfriend asks you to move in with you, you do it, which was, like, a really good thing. It kind of gets a bit ruined by the fact that he didn't ask David, even though he did. Like, he did. He just didn't. He didn't ask, but he implied, and it was really bad. But, like, it was a really sweet moment. And, like, I love the fact that there was almost, like, in the conversation with David, that it was, like, the pair of them felt so like here in Schitt's Creek. Like it's almost like it really is definitely nailed in that they're not flighty with this. They're not looking for a constant out. Like they really are establishing roots. And the pair of them were just like being really good siblings together. I really liked that scene. I don't know. There was something about it that really hit me.
It's probably because like they're kind of poking at each other, but also doing it in like a very uplifting way where it's like, even though Alexis is poking at David, she's like, that's still so exciting that like your boyfriend wants to move in together. Like, yeah, you can tell she's happy for him. Even when she's like, well, no other boyfriend has ever wanted to do this with you. In the way siblings do. Yeah. It was very sweet. I enjoyed this episode. Anything else before we get into some feedback that we got?
Not massively. Just wanted to say that Alexis referring to herself as a girl boss makes me cringe every single time. I hate the term. It really annoys me.
Girl boss.
And I do want to know why her and Adam Levine went for just bubble tea. Like, why Adam Levine? He's the worst.
Well, this was before the drama with him, I think.
I know, but like, have taste, girl. Come on.
Would it surprise you to know that when I was in my teen years, I was obsessed with Adam Levine?
Oh my God, of course you were. Everyone was.
You're welcome. All right, let's get into some feedback. Listen, we all know I can't do math on podcasts. I honestly just can't do math, but I definitely shouldn't be doing math on podcasts because we heard from multiple people. Yes, I know April to December is not 6 months. Okay. I understand. I don't know how to math. But you know, there were a bunch of us. Listen, math is hard. Okay. So we know the timeline is a little hinky. We did get an email from Rowan saying it is never anyone's job to risk. Oh, sorry. This is the, I'll get into the calendar stuff. Rowan starts with something else. It is never anyone's job to risk physical harm defending a business's property. If you feel you are being threatened, you give them the money or whatever they're asking for. Insurance will cover the loss. Stevie doesn't even work there. And confirmation from friend of the podcast and lawyer, Nick W., you're right that this is definitely still a robbery. At least in New York, pretending to display a deadly weapon is the same as actually displaying one. This is robbery in the first degree. It is as serious as attempted murder.
Whoa.
Which seems like that shouldn't be right, but maybe like someone's going to murder someone and it's the same charge. But yeah, we were right. We were right. And Patrick was wrong last episode. It was the gist.
Wow.
I know. Yikes for Patrick.
Awkward.
But Rowan also wanted to talk about the timeline here. It is not possible to make Schitt's Creek fit into a coherent timeline, and it's better not to try. I tried when I was writing a fanfic at one point, which I, Rowan, can we get some eyes on that, please?
Thank you.
And discovered it is always summer in Schitt's Creek, unless it's Christmas. Except for a bit in season one when you can see the leaves changing. It definitely doesn't map onto episode release dates. For example, David and Patrick first to get together on David's birthday, which is supposedly July 2nd, as we'll remember from his pin, the same date as Alexis's high school graduation. David and Patrick's 4-month anniversary, which is in the barbecue, is presumably the following November. And a couple weeks after that, Stevie is commenting on David wearing a leather sweater in the height of summer. Baby Roland Moira still looked very new in the Christmas special. So the 6-month time skip happens after that, meaning it's now summer again, I guess. So yeah, as Rowan points out, none of this makes any sense and it's best not to even try, I guess.
This is like watching Doctor Who. Like, what the heck is going on? Convergent timelines.
None of it makes sense.
I love the idea of referring to a baby as looking new. Like, as if it's fresh
out that womb. Yeah, that's a freshly birthed baby.
But that's like really reassuring, like to know that we're not actually losing our minds and that like it can't be mapped and that we should.
Well, at least we're not losing our minds due to math.
Yeah, exactly. I love the idea though that they're having a barbecue in November. That seems wild to me,
especially in Canada. Like, you can have a barbecue in November in the South, but not in Canada.
Yeah,
that'd be cold.
I mean, you could have a barbecue, but like it wouldn't be a pleasant one.
No, we did outdoor Christmas the year COVID was like at the height in 2020, and that was wild. We had a bonfire outside on Christmas Day.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cold.
I bet.
There was snow on the ground. Anyway,
snow, and you were outside.
It was Christmas.
I mean, I don't know why I sound surprised by that. It's just more than, like, the dedication to, like...
Take Christmas very seriously.
I don't know.
Not because of our Lord or anything, just because we like to celebrate holidays.
I was going
to
say, I wonder if it's, like, me going too far in the extreme of being too much of an introvert, of just, like, no, I just wouldn't do Christmas.
I mean, I wouldn't if it wasn't my family. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. My family's pretty close and gotta celebrate Jesus's birthday, you know?
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Okay, let's do our ratings. Stuart, this is a tough one, I think, this week. Who's simply the best for you?
Very
tough.
Stop
it. What is the face? Who's simply the best?
Okay. I can't do it. I'm trying to think of like who did anything that was like not questionable. I guess Stevie had a good episode.
I would argue Alexis had a good episode because she's the one who came up with the idea and kind of enacted it.
I think Johnny even had a good episode. Like, he went along with a fairly okay plan when it seemed like perhaps someone was taking advantage of like Stevie in the sense of like this like ruse. He stepped in and got really protective, which I really kind of love, while also still giving also agency, which I like. Sorry.
And the dinner part too, where like, because the lunch thing, right? He's like, no, Stevie, you don't have to. And then when when Amir comes back and he's like, oh, me and Mrs. Flemington are going to go to dinner, he's like, do we have Mrs. Flemington's consent? Like, I liked all of that. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. And so I don't know, like, I think those are for me the only three candidates, and I don't think Alexis is like, it's a really good idea. Stevie didn't really do much. I'm gonna go Johnny.
Okay,
I'm gonna go Johnny. Yeah, why not?
Wow. I'm gonna go Stevie, and the reason is I think even though she wasn't the best plant, I still think her being so charming is what won Amir over and ultimately did get them a good review. So, but I agree with your Johnny take as well. Like, I don't think it's like a major gap between Johnny and Stevie in terms of simply the best. Like, they both had good episodes.
Yeah. And Stevie did have an absolute belt. And like you say, the glowing review, okay, it's down to like the clean beds and everything like that. But it is a lot down to like Stevie being incredibly charming, and the humor just clicking. Yeah.
Disgruntled Pelican, I think, is tricky, because I do think we have a couple of candidates here, unfortunately. Let me list out my like top three candidates here in terms of who I think did things that weren't so great. Jocelyn is one, and I know we should probably have some sympathy for the sleep deprived mom, but like, girl just went off on the Jazza Gals and is like a little bit me for me personally. Another candidate is Patrick, because I do think the we was very misleading and not great. And then obviously Ray is also on the list, because dude needs to learn how to knock knock is not a knock, and you can't just barge in as you're saying knock knock. That, like, you're gonna walk in on something you don't want to see, or maybe he does want to see it. Maybe
Ray's a big perv. Who knows?
He looks like
The only thing I will appreciate the knock knock for is the fact that it sets up David for the lock lock joke, which was hilarious. Yeah. Like, it was just such a David, like, just the way he said it so dryly. I was like, that's amazing. Yeah, Ray. Yeah. Oh, Ray had a poor one. I mean, not that Ray ever really has good ones these days, but even there's like a case, I guess, for the Jazza Gals. For like all of their stuff as well.
I just don't even feel like they're that deserving of like a disgruntled Pelican point. Like, I don't think they do anything that's that bad.
True.
I'm giving it to Ray. I am, because I really can't stand someone just walking in a room unannounced and pissing me off like early in the morning. Like, no, I don't want your stupid pancakes, Ray. Get out of my room. But I don't know. But that's also because I am a simp for Patrick, and I it would hurt my heart a little bit too much to give him another disgruntled Pelican. What about you?
That's hilarious. I don't think Patrick deserves a point for it. Like, yeah, the comms were muddled. People say stuff like, and
yeah,
it was lovely that he kind of did bring in David for like even the opinion. And to get that out, it's got to go to Ray. Ray's like, I don't know, like, maybe I am severely biased at the moment because I'm looking to move at the moment and dealing with anyone to do with rentals. I hate them all. I hate them. Ray's getting it this week.
Incredible. Well, Ray, you are
acting like a disgruntled pelican.
I forgot how that audio started, so I set it up incorrectly, but who cares? It's fine. Maybe. Okay, it's tier list time. So as a reminder, we have our tiers: hot shit, full bouquet, love that journey for me, ew David, and shit out of luck. Our first two episodes are both hot shit. Stuart, are we breaking the trend with the plant?
I think so, for me. I'm thinking
good, not massively incredible.
Yeah, it wasn't massively incredible. It certainly doesn't live up to last week's, which I was... one of my favorite episodes I've watched in a long, long time. This was pleasant. It wasn't bad. I don't think there was that many. Like, Justin going in on everyone was quite funny. But again, everything was just a bit quite funny for me. So I kind of want to say, ooh, maybe High Love That Journey, low Full Bouquet.
I'm in the High Love That Journey for me. I think this is an average episode of Schitt's Creek. And again, this is not, that's not a negative thing. Like, it's a good episode. It didn't make me die laughing at any particular point. I think every, you know, every moment is like serviceable. I think my favorite storyline is probably the Patrick and David one, because Ray is just so unhinged. He's like, oh, on the downside, I'll lose you as a roommate, but I will get that commission.
that was really quite funny.
It was good. So like that storyline tickled me. The other two storylines are good, but didn't like blow me away in any way. So
felt like a load of B storylines, really. Like, it felt like it was missing like a solid A storyline.
Maybe this is like the sticky note episode where they're like, okay, we got our sticky notes of things we want to do. Let's shove them all in one episode.
Yeah, because I feel like Stevie's one is meant to be the A storyline, but it felt more like a setup storyline than anything else. Like, it feels like we haven't really, like, it's been put in the oven. It hasn't been cooked yet. So, like, let's see perhaps where that goes. If this goes to nothing, I'll be really disappointed.
Well, we'll see. We're going to put it in Love That Journey for me. So that's exciting.
Love That Journey for me.
It's been, I haven't used the soundboard enough.
She's rediscovered the soundboard.
I know. I forgot it existed. Now I'm excited. Okay. Next week is season 5, episode 4, The Dress.
This could be anything.
Whose dress is it?
The dress. Whose dress could it be? I mean, there's no one getting married. Why would, okay, Alexis always wears dresses? That wouldn't be a thing. Could be maybe Stevie has to wear a dress or something. It's like that. I don't know. Maybe one gets stolen or something. This could be anything. I have like no theories. I hate these really vague titles. I'm like.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to just wait and see next week. Who's to say? I know whose dress it is, but I'm not going to tell you. So you're just going to have
someone's dress. Okay, interesting. Theories are falling.
No, it's just an animated dress that walks around.
I don't know.
Well, that's next week's problem. In the meantime, in case you somehow are living under a rock and didn't hear, The Last of Us is back, baby. Season 2 premiered this week. We're excited about it, and you should be too. Go check out Look for the Light, our other podcast where we talk about The Last of Us. We get into all the nitty-gritty details of everything that happened in the premiere episode. And we'll be back, obviously, to talk about episode 2 on Monday. Stuart, anything else you want to tell the people about?
Just, I am not available to look after your kids if you decide to have one. It's your problem, not mine. Just a reminder.
And I don't want to hold your baby.
Yeah. Stop forcing us.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. We'll be back next week. And until then, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
Got an amazing business idea, but haven't locked in a domain name? Search Wix Domains and claim yours before someone else snags it. Your ideal.com, .net, .u is out there. Search Wix Domains and set your brand in motion.